In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear brethren, the night when our Lord Jesus Christ was born was brighter than day itself. A night brighter than day itself. Because in the lands of Israel, shepherds were watching over their flock. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the brightness of God shone round about them, and they feared with a great fear. But the angel said, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy. For this day is born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." A night brighter than day itself, not only in Judea, but also in the distant lands of the East. There, on that same night, a star appeared in the sky, whose brightness surpassed all the other stars. And this was the sign for long predicted, telling of the birth of the Savior. In fact, 1,500 years before the birth of our Lord, there was in the East, in the lands of Moab, a man called Balaam. And he was considered to be a prophet to his people. God was not in his heart, as he showed himself to be an evil man. Nevertheless, God deigned to speak through his mouth. And concerning the Savior, Balaam said, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not near. A star shall rise out of Jacob, and a scepter shall spring up from Israel." A star shall rise. And these words were kept by the Jews and by the Gentiles. And we believe that the wise men knew of this prophecy. And that's why, when they saw that star, brighter than the other ones, they realized that it had to do with the birth of the Savior. So they left their lands in order to go to the land of the prophecy, Israel. And they arrived in Jerusalem, at the great palace of Herod, where they thought they would find the king, the newborn king. And so they asked, "Where is the king of the Jews who was just born?" But in the palace, Nobody knew about this child. Instead of rejoicing with the news, Herod was troubled. So he assembled the priests in order to know exactly, according to the scriptures, the place where Christ would be born. And they said, "In Bethlehem of Judah, for so it is written, and thou, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come forth the captain that shall rule my people, Israel." And so Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem, asking that they would go and inquire, and when they would find the child, they should come back to let him know, so he could also go and adore the Lord. But we know that Herod didn't want to adore Christ, but his wish was to exterminate him, because he was afraid to lose his kingdom. He was afraid of that child. What a coward. But the wise men, having heard about Bethlehem, went to that direction. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east appeared again. And they rejoiced with great joy. And the star guided them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And it was not in a palace, but in poverty. And we can imagine the wise men at that moment, so eager to see the face of the Lord, but at the same time, afraid to behold such majesty, and entering, they found the divine child with Mary, his mother, and falling down, they adored him, and opening their treasures, the wise men offered three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And these gifts have a prophetic meaning. Gold is offered to kings and signify that Christ is king, not only of Israel, but king of all nations. Frankincense is offered to God, and it was offered to Christ, because Christ is the Son of God, consubstantial with the Father, and deserves our adoration. And myrrh was used to embalm the dead, and it was given to our Lord because he became a man in order to die for our salvation. So we can clearly see in the gifts of the wise men a symbol of our faith. Jesus Christ, King of the universe, true God and true man, who died for our salvation. But it is Feast of the Epiphany. It's not simply a feast of faith, but it's also a feast of conversion. The scriptures tell us that the wise men received a message in their sleep, saying that they should not return to Herod. And so they went back into their country through another path. And this change of path, this change of ways, signifies something deeper than simply avoiding Herod. After having met the Lord, the wise men changed their ways. It means that they changed their lives. They were not, and they could not be the same anymore. Finding Jesus Christ our Lord for us, as it was for the Magi, has to be the turning point of our lives. The meeting with the Lord has to change our lives. Otherwise, something is not right. Something is missing. Because we cannot adore Him and remain in our sins. Because true adoration is transformation. But if we are still the same, perhaps it is because we have never truly met the Lord. Or if we have, perhaps we have forgotten the beauty of His face. The Magi kept during all their lives the remembrance of that encounter with Christ. They had engraved in their hearts the beauty of the face of the Lord. And it was their strength and all their consolation in the trials of life. So, my brethren, it's time for us to raise our eyes above the things of this earth and the desire to contemplate the beauty of the face of the Lord. We have to look for the Lord, to run after Him while He may be found, because maybe tomorrow will be too late. It's time for us to allow Jesus Christ to be the Lord of our lives and to transform everything. Because we cannot adore Him and remain in our sins. Because true adoration is surrender, is transformation. So surrender everything to God before this holy altar Surrender your works, your sufferings, your struggles, your temptations, everything, and let God take control of your life. Adoration is surrender, is transformation. So adore God with all your heart and let Him transform you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.